Hour number two of 3D here on 102.5 The Game. Darren McFarland and Willie Donick with you. D-Mace will be back on Wednesday. Sean McDonough, who will be in the booth tonight with John Gruden, calling the Titans-Colts game. He will join us in the final hour of the program. But we catch up next with Bob Kravitz. Always good to talk to him. Been covering the Colts for a very long time in Indianapolis. He is in our fine city. So a 13 WTHR and Andy. Bob, good morning. How you doing?
Gentlemen, how are you?
Well, I don't know. Ask us this time tomorrow because, you know, it's been the same theme over the years after the Colts game. We're kind of hoping it has a different theme tomorrow. 11 in a row is a lot in the NFL.
It really is, and 16 out of 17. I don't think that streak continues tonight, though. I think even though both teams are 2-3, I think one team really has a very good chance to win the AFC South, especially with all the injuries to, you know, key players in Houston. And now it looks like Leonard Fournette may be out for a while in Jacksonville. And the Colts, I think, quite honestly, are one of the worst 5-7 teams in the league. So I would be shocked if the Colts were able to pull this off tonight.
Yet, Jacoby Brissett, since they made their trade and went to him, he's won them two games. So Andrew Luck, we know, is not playing tonight. And you hear that, you know, he's getting close. He's getting close. Does anybody really know how close he's getting? I mean, what is close? Is it next week? Is it 4 weeks? What is it?
I think probably two weeks, possibly three. Apparently, Andrew told Sean McDonough during, you know, they have the meetings before the night before the game, and he told McDonough that he would not be playing against Jacksonville next week. So I would suspect that he might be ready for the Cincinnati game in 2 weeks from now. I do think some people know. I think Andrew's got a pretty good idea. I think the doctors and trainers have a pretty good idea. They just haven't chosen to call those of us in the media and share that information, sadly.
Darn it. Just never happens
Dangle
anymore,
people.
You know?
Mark,
tell us a little bit more about Marlon Mack. I mean, I know their feature back is Frank Gore, but I've been watching Marlon Mack constantly on the radar week in and week out. What's his role with this team?
He's dynamic. I mean, he's their change of pace back. You know, he'll get, you know, 8 to 10 touches per game. I think they want to increase that as they go along. You know, he missed a lot of time with injuries during the preseason and early in the season. So he's not quite up to par when it comes to pass protection and being an effective third down back. So they don't see him as a three down back just yet, but I think in time he will be. Right now, though, he's really the first guy they've had since Donald Brown who has a chance to take to the house every time he touches the ball. And, you know, obviously it's not something that Frank Gore does with any regularity.
We got to know Al Woods when he was here with the Titans. How does he fit in Indy?
Oh, great. Look, their run defense, you know, statistically is not great just because they got lit up pretty badly by the Seattle Seahawks in the second half of their game out there. They gave up, I think, 195 rushing yards. But, you know, outside of that, they've averaged given up 3.2 yards per carry. And Al Woods and Jonathan Hankins and guys like that have had a whole lot to do with it. He's been the coaches have been very high in their praise for Al Woods. He's been very good.
We're talking to Bob Kravitz. He covers the Colts for 13 WTHR in Indianapolis. Bob, the offensive line for the Colts, I know, has had a number of issues injury-wise. Update us on that, if you will.
Well, you know, the guy who replaced Ryan Kelly, Deshaun Bond, is out for the season. But, you know, Ryan Kelly is back at center. Jack Muhort is now, it looks like he's going to be out for the season at guard. He'll probably be replaced by a second-year guy, LaRaven Clark. They're a little short on the offensive line. I think there's another change, but I don't want to mention it until I double-check. But, you know, two-fifths of their offensive line is going to be different. And that's the way it's been for years and years and years. They have not been able to maintain any continuity on that offensive line, and it's very, very ordinary. You know, it's they have an occasional game here and there where they protect the quarterback reasonably well, but you know, they'll give up their 3 to 4 sacks a game, generally speaking, and especially with Jacoby Brissett, who holds the ball quite a long time. And it's one of the bad things about him, and it's one of the good things about him, because much like Andrew Luck, he's always trying to make a play, and he's willing to hold the ball and take a shot if he has to. So, yeah, this offensive line is certainly not an area of strength for the Indianapolis Colts.
We've had our discussions about backup quarterbacks and how hard they are to find sometimes, and we were giving the Colts a lot of credit for the bold move of bringing in Brissett, because he may not be the greatest thing in the world, but as backups go, you have to like some of the things he's done. He's come in, he's given them some confidence, and he's made it work in some tough circumstances.
Well, the best thing about Jacoby Brissett is he's not Scott Tolzien. So, the two games they've won have both been against winless teams, against Cleveland and San Francisco. But you're right, Brissett has been good. He's improved each week. He's learning the playbook. He's learning his teammates. He's got kind of this, he's just got this poise and this thing about him where he just seems like he's in control of things. He's really good with his legs. Sometimes I feel like the Colts are better off when a play breaks down, and then it's just up to Brissett to sort of make a play. And no, he's been very good, and he gives the Colts some nice options. You know, at the very least, he's going to be their backup quarterback for the next couple of years. At the very best, if he continues to play well, maybe a real quarterback desperate team decides to throw a couple of draft picks the Colts' way, and maybe they move him at some point. So he's been a really nice find, and they didn't give up much for him. Dorsett, the wide receiver, has been very injury prone and unproductive. So that was a very nice move by Chris Ballard.
How does T.Y. Hilton still do it? It's really amazing, and that's the one guy that scares the daylights out of all the Titans fans, because they've watched Hilton year after year make big plays against them. Every time you think it's the time, well, this is the game that the Titans are going to break through and beat the Colts, he usually has a lot to do with it. So how are they continuing to get him the ball when everybody in the stadium knows he's their best weapon?
Yeah, they use him they use a lot of movement to try and get him a free break off the line of scrimmage, so he doesn't have to deal with bigger, stronger defensive backs. Quite frankly, there's not a lot of options. Dante Moncrief has been a total disappointment, 11 catches in 5 games. Kamar Aiken, who's, moved up to their second wide receiver, hasn't done much. Jack Doyle will be coming back from a concussion, so that's good for the Colts. But, T.Y. is just damn good. I mean, and he's starting to develop a nice chemistry with Jacoby Brissett, which is something he did not have with Scott Tolzien, but then nobody had a good chemistry with Scott Tolzien.
Scott Tolzien, I get this, there's some parallels between Scott Tolzien and Matt Castle.
Yeah.
Yeah, how many times can I take a shot at this point?
Yeah, that horse is dead and at the glue factory, Bob.
Exactly. Won't stop me.
You brought up Jack Doyle. It's good news for Indy. It's bad news for the Titans.
Yeah, Jack Doyle. A former Titan and a former
Doyle.
Western Kentucky Hilltopper.
He has made some pretty good catches against the Titans.
Yeah, he has. That's the reason they decided to cut bait with Dwayne Allen, who is, I don't think he's caught a pass in New England yet, or very few. Dwayne Allen got the big money 2 years ago, and then Chris Ballard came in, the new GM, and said, yeah, that's not going to work for me. And Jack Doyle is just, it's funny. He hasn't had a great season. He had 3 drops all of last year, and he had 3 drops in 2 games here recently. So he's not having a great year, but I would fully expect that, water finds its level, and I think that Jack Doyle is, is going to have some productive games coming up here, maybe even tonight.
Let's look at the other side of the ball with Marcus Mariota in the situation he's in, and we're still not 100% sure that he's going to play, but if he does, the suspicion is he's still not 100%.
Right.
So the running game would figure to be the number one thing to look for from the Titans. That's what they want to do regardless. So how is the Colts
absolutely.
Rush defense?
Well, the rush defense is pretty good. Like I said, their rush defense is, except for the Seattle game when they got run over, especially in the second half, they're still at, you know, outside of that, they've averaged 3.2 yards per carry. So they're pretty stout. You know, their front seven's not bad. Well, their inside linebackers aren't very good, but only in pass coverage. They're pretty good against the run. So that's going to be the matchup to me. And the good thing for the Colts is that you probably, and we don't know this for sure, but you probably don't have to worry as much about Mariota's legs tonight as you normally would with him coming off the hamstring. If you got to worry about, you know, the running back and Mariota, that makes for a long day with the read option and everything else. But if they're not using him in that way, you can concentrate a little more on run blitzes and concentrating on Derrick Henry or
DeMarco Murray.
Who's the other?
Murray.
Yeah, DeMarco Murray. Thank you. I'm trying to wake up here.
Did you have a little fun in downtown Nashville last night, Bob?
No, I didn't. I'm under the weather.
Okay.
Yeah, no.
The out-of-town media always says that, Bob. That's
it's not the,
yeah. That's code for Broadway and Second Avenue.
Yeah, some people call it the Tootsie's flu.
No. I wish I'd gone out and got stupid. I mean, that would have been nice. But anyway, by the way, Martin's Barbecue Joint, fantastic.
Yeah. Oh, yes. Right. Strong.
Just thought I'd throw in a plug for them.
Yeah.
And I forgot your question, so you know, don't mind me.
Last thing.
We're talking about DeMarco Murray.
DeMarco Murray, the running
game. Right, okay, yeah.
Now that Rodgers is out, you know, Scott Tolzien, since, you know, you'd be ready to ship him for anything,
bring
maybe
back,
they could
baby.
Ship him to Green Bay for a block of cheese.
Block of cheese, I'm thinking Gouda or cheddar. And,
your choice.
Yeah, everything would be good because, you know, if anything, the NFL needs to get its ratings back up. I'm thinking, you know, just like more cowbell, more Scott Tolzien.
That's the cure, no doubt. Bob, always good to talk to you. Thanks for doing this. We'll see you tonight at Nissan Stadium.
Sounds good, guys. Take care. Thanks.
All right, that is Bob Kravitz. Always good to catch up with him. He is now in television. He's been in television for a while, but he was a longtime writer there for the Indy Star 13 WTHR in Indy.
Now here's
he was not a fan of Scott Tolzien.
Here is
for good reason.
I kind of got that impression.
He's like, I'm running out of shots toward Tolzien.
He said, but that won't stop me.
So he said right out of the gates, the streak ends tonight.
Well, okay. Here's how my season has gone. For the pick six. On Friday, when we put the line out there, it was 2.5, and we didn't know a whole lot about Mariota. It now all the vibes are that he's going to play.
He's going to play. I mean, unless something, but he goes out there.
Have you seen the line today?
No, I haven't looked. I told you, I haven't looked at the lines. Only Chase has cheated.
Titans by 8.
What?
The line has gone from 2.5 to 8. I guess because...
Yeah, I didn't see that one.
8?
8. I guess because Mariota's going to play. It's the only thing I can think of.
I wouldn't see it at 8 if he was healthy.
That's scary.
Wow. 1-16 in the last 17, 11 in a row, and you're an 8-point favorite with a quarterback that's going to be about 75%?
Okay.
I
understand that, and every Titans fan has got the same feeling, and I do too. Just because anybody wearing the Colts uniform with the horseshoe is going to scare you to death because they haven't been able to beat them forever. The Colts, 2 wins under Brissett have been against the 49ers and the Browns. They have huge injury issues on the offensive line. They don't have a very good defense. They have one guy, in my opinion, who is a really, really good player on the field, and that's T.Y. Hilton.
Now,
but
the first game or the
it's the Colts.
The second game of the season, I guess that was when they lost 46-9 in the first game of the season against the Rams. I guess that's when they said, Scott Tolzien, I don't think this
not
is going to
work.
So they trade for Brissett, but I don't think Brissett played that first game, right?
He didn't play against the Rams.
No, I know that. I'm saying didn't he sit out a week and then he started playing because they lost to Arizona 16-13. Remember, if you watch
Arizona's not very good.
Ask Tampa Bay if Arizona's pretty good. Arizona was up 31-0 yesterday on the Bucs. Don't believe the 38-33 score you see, as that was how that game played out. It was 31-0.
I know, but
by the way, Jameis Winston,
I don't think either one of those guys are very good. Those teams. There's a lot of teams where it's like, I don't know. Week to week, who knows?
But the Colts
might be in that bottom five group
in
the league. And that's the vibe you're getting from Bob Kravitz. But it's the Colts. It's the uniforms. They scare the daylights out of the Titans because they haven't beaten them for a long time.
Like, but let's not act like this streak is just Peyton Manning and Andrew Luck. It's not. There's a Josh Freeman in there. There's a Curtis Painter in there.
No, they beat Curtis Painter.
No, they also lost to Curtis
Painter.
No,
they lost to Don Orlovsky.
Whatever.
The Johnny Don Orlovsky factor.
Come up with another
Jack Trudeau.
They lost to other questionable quarterbacks. It wasn't just Luck.
Jeff
and
George
Payton
was in there. No, he actually, no.
That would actually have been kind of a legit
Jeff
loss.
Jeff George, wow.
A little bit.
Hey, let this set in for a second. The last time the Titans beat the Colts, October 30th, 2011, I was not in radio. That's how long it's been.
I was not eligible to go on the radio at that time.
You were not.
Only for Predators pregame shows.
I was here. I was here.
Yep.
I was about a month
away.
The
day before Halloween.
I was a couple weeks away.
Wow. My son had just been born.
Mm-hmm.
He's a couple weeks old. So yeah, I wasn't sleeping.
I came on as an intern maybe 3 weeks later with Willie.
Hmm. You didn't have a beard.
I did not.
We'll get Adam on the other side. We'll take your phone calls. What do you think about tonight? Eight? You've got to be kidding me.
Eight? And when we come back, too, let's talk about the Mariota factor.
Our pick six is 2.5. Looks like the Grizzlies have waived someone that has ties to this area. We'll tell you about who we're talking about on the other side. He was a first-round pick by the Grizzlies. They have waived him. We'll tell you who that is, and we'll talk about the Titans and the Colts.
And let's talk about the quarterback situation for the Titans. I am very, very worried about this game tonight with Mariota's health.
Okay. We'll get Adam, too, on the other side. 737-1025. You are listening to 3D. The Memphis Grizzlies took someone from this area, the 17th pick overall in the first round. And they have decided, you know what? Just doesn't fit what we're doing. Wade Baldwin sent packing by the Grizzlies. That is a quick give up on a first round pick. Right? Because, I mean, it's
right.
One thing in the
usually the first
NBA
round pick,
is the first round pick. You're going to get.
The contract usually dictates
right.
that.
The second round, you're guaranteed nothing. Like, the only round that really matters in the NBA is the first round.
True.
When it comes to players' security. Well, not in this case. Wade Baldwin has been shown the door.
Tough. Has not gone well for him.
No, it has not.
So we'll see where his career takes him next. I guess he gets paid, right? Or if he's waived, I guess he's hoping that somebody will pick him up. But when you're a first-round pick, you do get guaranteed money for a couple years, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think so. Like I said, that's the only round that counts.
Now let's get to tonight's game.
Jeff Tuttle, where have you been, Jeff, on Twitter? Tweets at us, Josh Freeman was playing for the Coney Island Thrashers and serving soft serve ice cream at halftime, then was signed, played, and beat the Titans.
Now, in all fairness, that was a brutal Titans team. That was an awful Titans team.
But in fairness, he was signed off the street.
Yes.
That
and
week.
And still beat him.
And played that week.
But we need to thank the Titans for that, or thank the Josh Freeman, because that just improved the Titans' draft position. They only want to hurt the draft position for winning.
Okay.
In hindsight, you know.
Okay.
you never want to lose, but that was the last game of the season. You know, the season was going nowhere.
Okay.
But I get the point. By the way, Brissett was traded for during the end of training camp. He didn't start the first game. That was the Tolzien show. And then
started
games two on, he has been the starter. And he has won two and lost two. He beat Cleveland and San Francisco, beat San Fran in overtime. So here's where I'm going with this. Lost to Arizona in overtime. So they've been in the games other than Seattle, where they were in it for a while. The 48-18 score
was not indicative of that game. They were winning at halftime.
They were hanging around that game.
No, they were winning at halftime.
Yeah.
And they got outscored 36-3 in the second half.
Right.
To Seattle.
So here's where I'm going, though. If the Titans were... I'm just looking at worst case scenario. I have not watched Marcus Mariota practice. I don't know the inside. Maybe he was good enough to play last week and they played it safe. And he will be closer to 100% tonight. That's what I hope is the deal. But I, knowing what we know about hamstrings, we know there's always the worry. You think it's okay, it grabs you. Now it's worse. Now it's three more weeks, right?
Mm-hmm.
That scenario has happened many a time to any player in any sport. Definitely baseball, definitely basketball, and definitely football. So I am worried about this. Mariota, not quite really ready, but he's still a better alternative than Castle. This is a game that you absolutely got to have. I'm not going to say must win, but this is a got to have it kind of win. Got to hold serve. Monday Night Football, Colts. If there's a game you would rush Mariota back into, the temptation would be there to do it. And why is there that temptation? Because of the backup situation that we've been talking about for a long time. They have to have lost some confidence that Castle can beat anybody. Because if there's anybody you could beat with your backup, it should be teams like the Colts and next week the Browns. But you can't take that chance. So I am really, really worried that Mariota worsens his condition by playing tonight. But he's got to play.
He's got to play. Let's go to Adam. Adam, what's up?
Hey, buddy, a couple things. Number one, if y'all remember a guy named Mitt Romney, last time the Titans beat the Colts, he was the ticket holder for the Republican Party.
I was going to say, what team does Mitt play for?
He was the 2012
Was he BYU's quarterback?
No, Mitt Romney, man. That was the worst pick ever. I thought, well, Donald Trump. But leading into it, man, he thought we had no chance in the world against Obama with Mitt Romney. He was the last time the Titans beat the Colts. He was on the ticket. Well, that's just one little thing. I would not believe Bob, man. I was in that whole segment just now, and I don't believe him one little bit. So he says that he thinks the Titans are almost a favorite to win the South now. He knows that we haven't beat them in forever, and he knows that we're battle wounded with our best players.
So he's sandbagging. You're saying he's sandbagging.
Well, I absolutely. I listened to him. I had a job take me up to Owensboro, Kentucky, and that's all you got with Colts games. Horrible. Don't ever go there. But if you listen to Bob, man, he really undersells his team a lot, which I'm not saying the Colts are more than a 6 or 7-1 football team, but I don't think he thinks the Titans are going to win this game tonight. So keep your eyeballs open. We need to end the big streak. First things first.
Yep. Thank you, Adam. You know, the Colts are not very good. That's the bottom line. They've got T.Y. Hilton. Jacoby Brissett has made them a whole lot better than Scott Tolzien. They're okay running the football. Their defense is pretty good against the run, awful against the pass.
Well, let me just give you the numbers.
They're just not very good.
I'll give you the Football Outsiders numbers, okay? For what it's worth, this was going into this week. They have not been updated after Sunday's game. 32nd and last, as you would expect, the Browns. 31st are the Colts, even though they're 2-3.
Their defense?
I'm talking about overall, all three phases. Hmm. Their overall team efficiency rating, now we can break it down, offense, defense, if you want, but they rank 31st. 48.8% below average. 32nd, in offense, 30th in defense, 14th in special teams. So that's what we're looking at here.
Let me say
Arizona,
this.
Willie, 30th.
Hold on. Just
Miami, 29th. San Francisco, 27th.
That doesn't mean anything. Let me just boil this down, okay? If the Titans lose this game, they're going to have bigger problems than just a loss. In the standings, their bigger loss is going to be at the gate. It's going to be in people caring. They're going to lose a lot of people if they lose this game. There are going to be fans that be like, the hell with it. That's what they're battling. This is a bigger game than just the standings, because you've come off this atrocious loss to the Dolphins. And I realized, okay, it looks a little bit better today because the Dolphins were down 17-0 in Atlanta yesterday to the Falcons, and they came back and won. The Falcons have lost back-to-back home
games
to the Bills and the Dolphins.
Anything can happen in the NFL.
You're talking about embarrassing. That's embarrassing. At home, the team that represented the NFC last year in the Super Bowl just lost back-to-back home games to the Bills and the Dolphins. So it feels a little bit better because the Dolphins have now strung together two wins in a row. And that's a good win for them. But they're coming off this stinker, this clunker against the Dolphins.
Can I ask you another question?
You've got this huge streak that while the players and the coach, you know, yeah, we're kind of aware of it, but, you know, that's not our focus. Believe me, they know. They have talked about it a ton. They know. They're 1-16, and they've lost 11 in a row. In the NFL, that is really, really hard to do. In college football, we see streaks like that all the time. Not in the NFL. So they are battling that because, like you said, everybody knows Mariota's hurt. He's going to give it a go tonight. I don't know what it's going to look like. Is this going to be another Sam Bradford after a quarter and a half? Are we going to be going, oh, man, Mariota shouldn't have played? Or is he going to gut it out, look pretty good, play the entire game, and the Titans cruise to victory? Or get a victory. But either way, Willie, this is a scary proposition because this is going to hamper him for a while. This hamstring is going to magically disappear, okay, in the next couple of weeks or even after the bye week. It's something they're going to have to deal with. And right now, they're battling keeping people interested in their product.
All right.
If they lose tonight, you are going to lose a bunch of people.
That's where I was going to ask you in the whole people care issue. Monday Night Football, we know how Nashville people can be, right? Season ticket holders a lot of times. School night. You know?
No, it's not that way. It's that way because right now there's no reason. Because you know what? School nights didn't affect the Predators. Didn't affect the Predators.
I'm talking about.
And I realize their run was a lot more in the summer. But, you know, they sell out Tuesday and Thursday night.
But again, it goes to how much you are passionate and feel like you got to be there.
I don't know this. You tell
me. So I'm asking what the crowd's going to look like tonight.
Well, I'm asking you this first before I answer that. I don't know the answer to this, and I don't want to pile on because I don't know the answer to it. But is there a bunch of special things planned for tonight?
They're handed out exotic Smash Mouth t-shirts to some people.
Because this is a Monday Night Football game. They asked the fans to, you know, a whiteout, or do they have some neat thing planned before kickoff? Do they have some incredible halftime show? I don't know. Are they jazzing up this Monday Night Football game? Because this should be a really big deal. Is it?
I don't know.
I would think if they've lifted a finger over there, we would know.
I think morale is a little bit down.
Do they have special plans for tonight?
I don't know. They might.
Is there going to be fireworks after the game? Is there going to be an incredible concert before the game? I don't know.
Who's the 12th Titan?
I don't know.
Is this a Dory? I think this could be a Dory Jackson's mom.
That's fine. That's who it is.
And that's fine.
It's a Dory Jackson's mom.
They do a 12th man chase for every game.
And
this is different. This is Monday Night Football. Have they done anything outside of what a normal Sunday game looks like?
The Eagle is going to fly down and
no,
land.
No, the eagle is in rehab.
No, Otis not is no, in not rehab. Otis, not Otis. The other one, Challenger, or is
going to be there?
He's going to be
there. Otis's cousin.
But Challenger,
I was going to ask if they're related.
Challenger isn't there every Sunday, but Challenger is there during regular season.
Trace Atkins on the anthem.
Okay.
So, but I don't know what else you're. I know what you're saying. I would try to take measures to make sure
the place
is full.
A Monday night football game.
Because there are ways for people to just say, you know, I'll watch on TV.
Right, when there's nothing attached
to it. I'm on the fence about this team. I'll watch on TV.
I'm saying, what is the reason other than there's a Monday night football game for people to go, you know what, I need to be there. Everybody in my office is talking about being there. I need to be there. Everybody in the neighborhood's going. I need to be there. Is there anything, is there a catch? Is there a hook?
I'm concerned.
Is there something that has everybody going or people going, I need to be there? Because you know what, I hang around a lot of people that say they're going.
I'm not aware that there is, and I'm concerned, and I think you have the same feeling that it's not like it's going to be an awful crowd, but it's not going to have what you hope it would have. If you're the Titans, if you're in that office and it's your job to help fill the seats, I still would hope you have a great atmosphere.
I mean,
for
honestly, I would have a big pregame concert.
We'll see.
A big act.
A pregame concert?
Something. Yeah. Why not? You know, the year you guys sent me to Foxborough for the week to cover the Titans-Patriots playoff game, you know who was out there doing a pregame concert at Foxborough Stadium?
Mr.
Or Gillette Stadium? Boston.
Boston?
Yeah. I mean, we have this town littered with acts like that. You can't have a big pregame concert?
I guess you could.
I'm just saying, make it a big deal. Do something different. Jazz it up. Is there any catch other than the 12th man, which is done at every game, or Challenger, which is done at some games, and an anthem singer that's done at every game that has people going, you know what, I need to be there? Are they handing out anything, something incredible at the gate for every fan that comes through?
Exotic Smash Mouth t-shirts. Is what I heard. Seriously.
Are you being serious?
No, he's right.
Is that for everybody? Is that the giveaway for everybody?
I think it's the first whatever 1,000 fans or whatever they do.
Well, I don't know. What is that? That's kind of loose.
Okay, will get you the exact number, but I know that has been put out there that is the giveaway.
I know that's a giveaway. The question is, because in the past, they've tried to create the effect where everybody's wearing the same.
Right, that's what I'm getting at. Are they doing a whiteout? Are they doing rally towels? I mean, something. Titan swords. Why don't they hand out swords to everybody?
That's a great idea.
Foam swords, not real ones. That could get
good idea. Good idea.
You don't want it to look like the Panthers-Eagles game, which I hope they throw the book at that guy, the Eagles fan. I do. I hope he serves time. That's assault. That's assault big time. And he needs to go to jail. He needs to think about this for a while.
And what did he do?
You haven't seen the video?
I have not.
I mean, he's in his 20s. Him and his rowdy girlfriend or whoever she is. Sucker punching a guy in his 60s who was an Eagles fan. Like 5 times in the face. Because they wouldn't sit down. They kept telling him, please sit down. And of course, you know, it didn't go Carolina's way. There's video. I mean, they've got him. They've arrested him. Just idiotic. Absolutely idiotic. We'll be back to wrap up the second hour of 3D next. So, Brad Weatherby tweeted me during the break and said they are going to have a tailgate concert. They call it the Tighten Up Tailgate, and the band is Parmalee. So, I don't know. Chase, do you know anything about them? Is this Bernie Parmalee?
No, Parmalee is kind of a country rock band. Had a song called Carolina a few years ago that was a big hit for them. So that, you know, pretty good entertainment. Not A-list by any means, but I know they have a good following. So that, I guess, is the tailgate party. And then Trace Atkins, I believe, is doing halftime from what I've learned during the break.
So he's going to do the anthem and do a halftime show?
Yes, he and Challenger are going to be a part of the anthem, and then halftime, it says he's going to have a performance.
Okay. Well, that's Trace Atkins. Nothing, no shame in that.
No.
And I'm not going to – I don't know Parmalee, so I'm not going to say anything about it because I don't know. That may be interesting to a lot of folks, to a lot of fans are going to be down there. I don't know.
I'm more interested in what the atmosphere looks like when it starts. This is an important game for the Titans. This is got-to-have-it kind of stuff. And Taylor Lewan is banged up. Marcus Mariota is banged up. You don't have Corey Davis. You got issues, right? It's a team fighting to stay alive in a race that is so winnable. The division race is so winnable. Forget about how mediocre so many teams look right now around the league. This is your division to go get. Still, got to have this. So what does the atmosphere look like? This is where all the work that you do.
It needs to look good. It needs to look really good. We've done too much in this city over the last couple of years. Too much praise from around the country about what we're doing. It needs to look good tonight. It does. This is a big deal. It should be a big deal. It's a division foe. And I realize Andrew Luck is not under center. That has more intrigue. But still, it should be done up. This is on national television. This is the only game tonight in your sport. It needs to be a big deal. I hope it is. I don't know how to answer your question, Willie, because I don't know. I know it's not going to be half empty. I know it'll be a good crowd, but is it going to be a great
crowd?
Good.
Yeah.
Is it going to be loud? Like when you watch that Chiefs-Steelers game, I realize the Chiefs are undefeated, or were undefeated. By the way, took the Steelers in pick six. That place is loud. You ever been to Arrowhead? It's loud.
Sure.
Very, very loud.
Nissan Stadium back in the day
was loud.
It can be loud. I'm looking at Ticketmaster, and I don't pretend to know all the nuances of how a game gets sold out, but it looks like there's a lot of tickets available on Ticketmaster, and I'm not talking about the resale. The secondary market, which has become a huge issue on how to manage the secondary market, and the best teams that can really create the demand for their seats do a good job now of controlling the secondary market. I don't think the Titans have done a good job of controlling the secondary market. I think that's fair to say. So I don't know how many Colts fans will be there tonight, but it looks like, forget about the secondary market. It looks like a lot of the lower bowl is sold out. There's still scattered seats in the lower bowl. But a lot of the upper deck looks like there's still seats available. And we've had our discussion about where those seats should be priced. But again, it's really down to, if you boil it down to one thing, it's the desire for your fans, the connection with your fans to say, I got to be at that game. This is a big game. We've got to get there.
And they got to win this to keep that feeling, because if they lose tonight, they're going to lose a lot of that, unfortunately. A lot of people are just going to be like, the heck with it. I'm done. Just saw this update. Chase, I'm sure this was a topic on Friday Night Game Blitz. Grundy County high school football players to remain on house arrest. That really, really bad, bad story coming out of there.
Awful.
How much did you guys talk about on Friday?
We didn't get into that. We just stayed with the games.
So awful.
Well, it is a story.
No, I know.
It's actually a huge story. They canceled their game, right?
Yeah.
Do we know if they're going to play this week?
No, but I'm going to check on that throughout the week to see what ends up happening.
Man, I'll tell you what, these kids today, man, whew. Not good. Not good at all. When we come back, we will head east. Our weekly chat with Vince Ferrara, WNML in Knoxville, at Vince Sports on Twitter. We'll also get in a little bit later in that hour, the third hour, the hose job that the Predators got in Chicago. We'll give you a chance to win tickets to see the Predators and the Avalanche tomorrow night. Just a one game home game, and then they go back out on the road for some Eastern Conference tilts, including Saturday morning. Yes! Madison Square Garden, 11:30. We'll have pregame at 10:30 a.m. I'm pumped for that. All right, we'll come back. We'll talk to Vinny next.